the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Wow, what a day. LFG, let's do this.
Let's go.
What a day. I mean, there's only one word that just keeps running through my mind everywhere I go today and everything I listen to on our station. And
it's week 4 and it's year 61.
Well,
depending on how you look at it
there's just a lot
of... They both start today.
There's just a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
This has been an emotional day. And, you know, we shout out Steiny. Happy birthday to 60-year-old Matt Steinmetz, our good friend here. That was amazing. That was a lot of energy.
Steph Curry called in on his birthday.
And then sent a personalized gift.
Dude, not only a personalized gift, a personalized signed jersey, which the good news is that's incredible. The bad news is there's no resale value.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
You know what I mean?
It?
Even if it was an autographed Steph jersey. All right, Steph, I'm down on you. Right. I'm going to put it on eBay.
Somebody buys it for their kid for Christmas.
Exactly.
Little Bobby opens it up and says, why does mine say not a good point guard? I mean.
Who is Steinmetz?
What a day. What a day. But I do want to start off right away by shouting out, man, the stories that I've got to listen to today from so many of you. The stories. Someone called in Bonte and Joe. I want to say his name was Corey. I hope I'm getting that right. I think, you remember how we were talking about our guy Daryl who was on the phone for 5 minutes? I think Corey was on for 10.
Wow.
And I didn't want it to stop. And neither did Bonte and Joe. Everybody taking all of us on the journey through your childhoods, through your family memories, through what sports has meant to you, through the ways that you broke the rules and got into A's games for free through the years, and all the way up to now, to either who you blame or what this means to you, or even just if you are an East Bay for life person and you've watched what's unfolded over the last decade with shock and awe to get to this point. I just want to say, thank you for sharing your stories. That it's really been touching and interesting, and I know 1,000 people have said it today, but I feel for you.
Yeah.
I feel for you if you grew up with this, and if this is right in the middle of your heart and your DNA, this should not be this way, and I feel for you.
Yeah, I agreed, and I appreciate the sentiment because I became an East Bay guy. I became an A's fan more so over time when in 2001, I'll never forget, it was 9/11, happened on a Tuesday, and that shook me to my core, and I was living in San Francisco with my 3-month-old and my ex-wife, and I told her the next day or the day after, I said, we need to buy a house. This has to happen now. Life feels to me like it's, you know, tentative or fleeting, whatever. I was 33, but that shook me to my core. So we went shopping for a house, and we found one in Oakland, and we moved our 4-month-old to Oakland, and we lived there together for 24 years, and she still is there. And so my kids grew up as Oakland residents. They were K-12 kids. Elementary, middle, high school. So we became an Oakland family. Even though I grew up in Marin, and my ex-wife did as well, my kids are born and raised in Oakland. So when you grow up in Oakland as a kid, it's A's and Raiders and Warriors. And the Warriors at the time were, of course, in Oakland. So our template was A's games. So from the time they were 6 or 7 years old until the time where, you know, John Fisher made it untenable to be an A's fan, we were A's fans. And we went to between 5 and 10, 15 games a year. And you'd go there with your good friends and the Crawfords and the Whitakers and the Burrows and all and the Quintellas. And I'll mention them a lot today because they were the people. It was a tribe. There were 16 or 20 of us. And you'd go on a Thursday or a Friday or a Tuesday and, hey, what are you guys doing? Let's go to the A's game. And you'd go, and it would be 14,000 of your closest friends, and it was great, and the collie was close, and the tailgate was awesome, and it was a real thing. So for me, today, Mark, is not about anger. I'm done with anger.
Okay.
For me, the anger is, and you can feel whatever you want to feel at 888-957-9570. I'm not telling you how to feel. My anger is over because it's a done deal. This is going to happen. Today's the last A's game at the Coliseum. And so for me, it's a mix of sadness and nostalgia because I have great memories in that building. It's not really a building. It's an arena. It's an outdoor venue. But my memories that I have there are coming flooding back. And so today for me is not about the anger part. And yes, there's anger. There's plenty of anger for everyone. But for me, it's about watching this game and feeling the feelings about this being the last one there.
What is the emotion?
Sadness for okay. me. Yeah. It's sadness. And it's not only for the A's, but it's sadness for Oakland in general. Because we all talked about this 10 years ago. And whatever, the Raiders left and they came back. And they left again. And even when they came back, the way they came back was kind of dirty. They changed the Coliseum forever with Mount Davis. The Coliseum used to be an open, beautiful, wonderful outfield experience that was forever changed when Al Davis came back. And even today, Mount Davis is tarped because they don't want to sell those seats. They Yep. don't want to have additional employees up there and all the rest of it. So for me, the feelings today, the emotions are, it's sadness and it's nostalgia.
I'm sure that you speak for many with that. I gotta tighten the screws on the word anger because, I don't want it to be disingenuous. Like, it's a different kind of anger. I don't come at it from the A's fan type of an anger.
Right. Yours is authentic about, and you said it yesterday about like franchise movement in general.
Is all, I don't understand it. I don't even, right. I really don't understand it. I don't know why there isn't more of a commitment when something like this happens. I firmly believe there are reasons. Maybe there are reasons. If you're literally in a spot where you are unable to get people to come to your building, or you are unable to get people to care about your team. But I really, Dibs, I don't know if I've ever seen that in sports. I don't know. I understand owners know exactly how to make it look like that, but you just did a wonderful job of detailing that. I watched the Chargers do it too. You cannot tell me that we've ever in this country, at least not in my memory, in my lifetime, have we seen a team that actually just has nobody care about it. We get those reputations, but they're built by the hands of the greedy owners. They know exactly how to do it. You don't update your stadium. You don't make things easy for your fans. You get rid of all your good players whenever they get good. There's a blueprint that you follow. And then the most offensive thing of all is these cockamamie renderings that you come up with. Stir up everybody's excitement and emotion. And then you pitch it through city channels in such a way where it is literally built to fail. And you know that. You actually build those projects in such a way that you ensure that they fail. And I want everyone to know that today. Howard Terminal, they sold you a goose. That was literally a situation where people sat down and wrote things in such a way to ensure that it would never happen. Because what they're actually doing is they are covering their butts in court, because when you buy a team, it is known that in legal documents, you can't move without what's called a, quote, good faith effort.
Exactly.
So there's our good faith effort. We tried. It got voted down. Oh, darn. Infrastructure, government, we gone.
That thing was a toxic dump, and they were trying to sell people on a gondola that would go over the Amtrak train tracks, which run, as you know, from Jack London. The Amtrak runs right down Jack London Square and around. It's the main train route that goes from the South Bay all the way out to Sacramento and beyond. And so that train route cannot be changed. And so John Fisher tried to sell you on a gondola that would carry you from the BART station on Broadway. From 12th and Broadway, you get on a gondola and you go up and above, you know, Old Town, and it drops you right down into a stadium where, yeah, they would have needed hundreds of millions of dollars in just toxic waste reclamation.
Yeah, which you're not going to get in the state of California. That's the funny thing, is you can build a project right now that's a ballpark anywhere in California. You don't need renderings. You don't need all of these fancy little poison pills they stick in there. All you need to do is ask for one public dollar. And the answer will be no, because it should be. The answer should be no. I don't know, and this is me being in like a utopian state of mind, but when you buy a franchise, it's such a license to print money. I don't understand why, as part of that deal, why is there not A, the promise, you ain't going anywhere, and B, the commitment that, say, every, I don't know, name a number, 30 years? 30 years, at minimum, there's a mass renovation of your home. Because that's the other thing that they hide behind. Oh, the decrepit building, and oh, the facilities. All right. You need updating? Like, then you need to do that. That's part of the deal, because when you bought this thing, in theory, 30 years ago, it was worth $500,000, and now it's worth $4 billion. How about if you take out a loan against that unbelievable wealth that you just built and do something for your product? That is how businesses are run. That's how franchises, I hate that we use that word for these, because they're not. They're not. A franchise owes something to its parent company. And Major League Baseball and all of these leagues,
yeah,
they sit there and let one of their franchisees drag their name through the mud. And I know, as you said, well, but all the other people get a bunch of money out of it. Great. You're losing branding in a major market. And because we love sports so much, it is okay to them. There is no penalty.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care. They're about the dollar, and that's why what John Fisher has done, and you look at the attendance over the last 4 years post-pandemic, they haven't even gotten to a million fans. And you watch today when you've got an absolutely sold-out Coliseum, and if you had a product that was as good as it was back in the 20-teens, and I think about the years where they actually were on our station. We were the flagship station of the Oakland A's. And just a little bit of a history lesson for everybody. It was, I believe, April 15th, 2011.
Okay.
I was driving through the city, and I was just flipping the stations as I do. And I was working for another radio station at the time. And as I'm flipping, I hear 95.7, The Wolf, the country station, and they're doing what stations do when they flip format, and they're playing the same recording over and over.
Over and over again.
And I'm like, what is this? And a guy walked in front of me in a crosswalk who I knew, who used to work at the radio station I worked at, and he had become an employee of The Wolf. And I rolled down my window, and I said, hey, Josh, what the heck is going on? And he said, call me later. And I called him later, and he told me what was happening. 95.7, which at the time was an Entercom property, they were rushing to market to beat CBS Radio to not only launch a sports station to compete with that other station that will remain nameless, but they also were going to grab the A's. And I said, wow, this is actually perfect for me because I'm looking for a change in my career. Skip ahead 6 weeks. I get hired. 2 months later, the Rise guys launch. 95.7 The Game becomes a station. We have the A's, and the rest is ongoing history. But What happened those next 3 years is the A's were incredible. They drew 1.7, 1.8, and 2 million fans. They were a playoff team 3 years running, and things were good in this market. Things were good with that product. And then you get further down the road, and then John Fisher takes control, and that's kind of where we are. I guess the upshot of this for me, Mark, is that it's not that long ago where they were not only viable, but they were like you're seeing today. Popular,
yeah, look at
full houses.
Look at the stadium.
It was like a legitimate product. And, you know, one man, as we like to say, was largely responsible with driving this thing into the ground. It just it devastates me.
Yeah, and I, look, as I said earlier, he's enemy number one. And you're not wrong by saying one man drove this whole thing into the ground.
Yeah.
Boy's got a lot of accomplices.
Well, and the number one accomplice is... And again, my emotions today will be conflicted because Dave Cavill was singularly responsible for my come up in the TV world because he heard me call one game of the San Jose Earthquakes and he liked it so much that he gave me the job. And so that was Dave Cavill who did that for me. And then I see what he's done as the front man, the shill, the schlock.
Well, he gets a lot of words thrown at him. He's just a sellout. He's somebody who decided to hand over his character in exchange for money. I know a lot of people who've done that. That's not to excuse it.
No.
But he took a job and he's doing it. He's doing it, right? Like he is the press secretary.
He's the bag man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the bag man.
All right. So here's how this is going to go here for, quite frankly, as long as y'all want it to. 888-957-9570. And I don't want to put out a question or a rule or anything. Just, it's your floor to share.
How you feeling?
It's your floor to share. And obviously, we're going to be on the air as the game ends. So if anybody is listening in and around the stadium, we really, really want to hear from people as they're heading home. Larry Beal, who uncorked an unbelievable piece of content on TV the other night about John Fisher, is going to join us in 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts. Mike Holmgren is going to come on the show today as well. Obviously, there'll be a little football there, but Mike's going into the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. And he's awesome, and we'll talk to him about all things. I also want to share this, get your reaction to this. I don't know if you saw this. They've announced the attendance at today's game, the A's game. 46,889 fans are inside that building right now, and it is the largest crowd in MLB history in a city that is hosting its final home game. So the A's and you fans who have been told for years and years that you don't care, you just set the record for the largest final day of attendance in the history of Major League Baseball. And oh, by the way, it's not even close. The previous record was just over 31,000 in Montreal. Today,
wow.
Today, you got almost 47,000 people to go to that baseball game at the Oakland Coliseum.
It's incredible, and it's emotional for me because I've been to so many games at the Coliseum back to my youth, and even as an adult when I raised my kids in Oakland, where that was the thing. And I talked earlier about the Josh Hamilton game where he drops the fly ball in 2012, and that game was absolutely shoulder to shoulder, and as Guru said earlier, the Coliseum was rocking, and it's there. That's the thing that is so maddening and so frustrating is you're not going to draw 46,000 every game, but this is there. They could draw 30,000, and I go back to my youth in the 80s when they were drawn 2.7 and 2.8 million, and the Giants were drawn 800,000.
Of course,
at Candlestick. Yep. So this is there, and the fact that this is no longer going to be there is maybe the ultimate frustration.
Of course it's there. Of course it's there.
It's been
there. Don't let anyone ever tell you different. That's absurd.
I know, but we've kind of been conditioned to...
Because that's the game they play.
Exactly.
And they know how to create that if they need to. Dean Spanos did it in San Diego. John Fisher has done it in Oakland. We've watched other teams do it as well. I think that there was a little bit of this in St. Louis before the Rams left. Oh, it's a baseball town. It's a baseball town. It's a baseball town. It's like, stop. Stop. And that's already a team that had already relocated. And so you can't say that relocations never should have happened. I mean, we sit here and the Giants and the Dodgers and the Warriors and everybody. These are all relocated teams, but it's a different time. It's 150 years later in some cases.
Back then it was manifest destiny.
Yeah.
Now it's a cash grab.
Lousy, you're trying to figure it out back then. You're trying to expand.
Wait, California's a state?
Yeah, now, right?
Let's go.
Let's get in the back here and bring a baseball team. Yeah, like now you're just a jerk. That's it. What's the difference? And I know, this bothers me, and I've learned to appreciate it because we live in California, and so there are millionaires everywhere, and I've learned that even millionaires still care about, like, the price of groceries. But to me, there's a responsibility not on your individual income. If you're richer than your friend, you don't have to pay for dinner every time. You don't. But if you own a sports franchise, okay, a product that is emotionally tied to the customer. You're not Home Depot. I need a lug nut. That's different. I'm not emotionally tied to how you're doing at the end of the day, Home Depot. But I am if you're a sporting franchise, and there has to be, or I guess should be, some responsibility that goes along with that for whoever owns them. But I also know we're screaming into the wind.
Yeah, because they, and by they I mean the commissioners and owners, they don't see it that way. They're sitting right now in a boardroom with their cigar, just they don't care. And you'd be hard-pressed to find an owner that does care. And I do think that Joe Lacob and the Warriors is a guy who kind of cares, but when push comes to shove, post-Steph Curry, we'll see how much he cares. And it took the Giants being sold to keep them from going to St. Pete.
Right.
So let's not pretend that this is a new phenomenon.
No, not at all. Not at all. But it's one that in this day and age of the finances attached to sports should stop. This day and age. The end of summer sales event is on at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now's the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings. You can drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com. So here's the deal. A lot of you want to weigh in today, and we're going to get to every single one of you. That's the promise. Larry Beal's going to join next. Then we're going to get to a lot of you. Then Mike Holmgren's going to join, and then it's going to be nothing but you, especially as the game comes to an end. So if you're patient, you're getting on. Stay right where you are. 888-957-9570. What do you want to say? The floor is yours on Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, it's that kind of day. I don't even know how to describe today, other than emotional.
Totally. And it's reminding me of the last Raider game that they played at the Coliseum, part deux,
yep.
The second time that they left. And I was there with my kids, and we made it a point to go and shout out Derek Petrak and Don and all the rest of the great people in the Bart lot. Because I used to go to a Bart lot tailgate. Matt Steinmetz introduced me to this guy, Derek, and he had a group of people, about 100 people, in the Bart lot, and we would tailgate before Raider games. Sometimes I wouldn't even go to the game. I'd go down the street from where I lived, tailgate, and go back home and watch it. But on this day, I watched the Raider game, and the Raiders were battling, and I believe it went to overtime, and they were beaten by a guy named Gardner Minshew, ironically enough.
Oh.
The Shoe drove, I guess it would have been Jacksonville at the time, down the field.
Yeah.
I think the shoe was quarterback of the Jaguars.
That sounds right, yeah.
Jaguars beat the Raiders in the final game at the Coliseum, and right in front of the black hole, too. And that was, it was already a sad day because it was the last Raider game, but that made it even a little bit sadder. So I'm hoping today goes better for A's fans.
Yeah, like we're really looking forward to talking to some people who were there, and I mean that both as dignitaries within the organization, attached to the organization, and also those who just have butts in seats right now. The floor is yours, and we're trying to connect with Larry Beal, and we're confident that we will here shortly. But in the meantime, that gives us an opportunity to go direct to you. 888-957-9570 is the number. What do you want to say? Let it out. Share it with us. The floor is yours. Theo in the East Bay. Hi, Theo. Thank you for calling.
Well, there it is. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to chime in. I know it's a sad day for A's fans. Just some memories I had of going to the Coliseum. Growing up in the East Bay in high school in the late 2000s, early 2010s, the thing to do as a high school kid would just be get on BART after school, playing hooky from school, and getting on the BART train, going to the Coliseum, and seeing A-Rod and Jeter play against the A's. You know, some games that you wouldn't get to see as a Giants fan. So yeah, that one of my memories is seeing them at the Coliseum, and that was the thing to do growing up in the East Bay, was just go catch some Warrior games or some A's games in Oakland. So definitely feel bad for kids nowadays not being able to do that. And you know, we'll talk later down the line of what Sacramento could be or whatever the future was. But definitely a sad day, sad for all the fans for the A's. And, just wanted to see what they got next up.
Theo, thanks. Yeah. I'm sorry, Theo. Did you have another thought? Go ahead.
No, that was it, man.
Okay. Here's yeah. One. Appreciate you. Thanks, appreciate Theo. You sharing. Listen, I think Theo's hitting on what the real big issue is. You know, I mean, and I think, Dibs, you were sort of earlier kind of trying to head this direction. Like, your angry days are over, or at least they've been pushed to the back of this story. For me, it's what Theo just said. So many of you, and we want this, I want you to share, like, so many of you are going to call and you're going to talk about what this did for you as a kid. And that's part A for me. That's amazing. And that's what the emotional part is. Because anytime we think about our memories, I'm sure it's why Steiny's face looked like it did today. He's turning 60, and you start going through the chapters of your life and thinking back, and there's no way for that to not be emotional. But this is probably part of what was really joyous for people when they look back. But even bigger than that part A is the part B, and it's the kids of the East Bay now. That's what my actual concern is. And look, there are people who grow up in all different parts of the country, and some have sports and some don't. So it doesn't mean that they're stunted or they're not going to make it. But it really, really stinks. I mean, when I think back not only in my time as a kid or the time that I spend now with my kids and how the percentage of that is spent connecting on sports, especially now with the phones being the way they are, it is very, very difficult for a parent to connect with their kids. It is increasingly difficult. And this is one of the ways to do it. This is one of the ways it's easy to do it. And it's being taken away from the kids of the East Bay, and I find that to be a complete and total tragedy.
That's a great way to put it, because, you know, you think about yourself growing up in Foster City, and you were 20 minutes away from Candlestick, and I grew up in Marin, so I was probably 35 minutes from the Coliseum and 35 minutes from Candlestick, and we'd go to both, and you had both as an option. And further on down the road, now in the last 20 years, when the Giants had their shiny new ballpark and prices got, you know, accelerated and raised, and you could still go to A's games for a lot more of an affordable price. And so now that option is no longer going to be there. So for all fans, not only East Bay fans, but all fans with kids and families, You think the Giants are going to look at this and think, you know what, we need to have some low-price games for the East Bay.
Oh, get out of here.
Prices are going to be even more expensive. Oh, yeah. So for all fans with, you know, families with kids, and you've got three, and I really have one child. I have three kids, but two of them are adults, and you're on your own. Pay for your own money. And I think my son Quest actually went last night, according to his IG feed.
Oh, nice.
He was rocking an A's hat. Good. And he, you know, having a little bit of an emotional farewell to the A's leaving. But you mentioned it, like kids in Oakland and Hayward and Fremont and Union City, shout out the Goo, let alone, you know, out where I am in Orinda, Moraga, and Lafayette and Antioch and Pittsburgh and Brentwood, and those people who, okay, you're 40 minutes from Oakland, you're an hour and 20 in a bridge away, and so it's no longer going to be an option.
It becomes increasingly difficult at a minimum, yes, and by the way, if your heart's not in it, you're definitely not going to do it.
Yeah, good
point.
Until
you're 55 years old or something, you're not going to just be like, all right, nah, I love the Giants. All right, kids, let me teach you how to be a Giants fan. All right, Dad, who's your favorite player? Well, I don't even know who's on the team.
Like, Matt Chapman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's tough. And, you know, I'm just a stupid man. So if I'm sitting here going, all right, I got to plan something for the kids, it's the first place my mind goes. Right? Just a couple weeks ago, like the backflips that I did in order to try to find a way to get the whole group into the Niner Jet game was significant. But there's a reason for that. Like, was a night we're never going to forget.
Exactly. Those things matter.
Yeah.
There's always museums and zoos and aquariums that I also love.
Yeah, zoos and aquariums are great.
Wonderful.
I do think museums are overrated. Because the majority of us go in there because we feel like we're supposed to like what's happening in there, but we don't even really know.
You need to do a little bit more homework pre-museum.
I went to France. I'm looking at the Louvre. I'm like, yeah, beautiful.
We've had this conversation.
Let's go to Jimmy in Fremont. Hi, Jimmy. What's good?
Fellas, what's going on?
Thanks for calling.
Hey. First of all, my emotions are all over the place. Sorry if I get a little away from stuff.
But, all good. All good. Floor is yours.
You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, like the last time I really cried, and that was probably when the birth of my children. And I, not that I was bawling crying today, but I got a little teary-eyed, no doubt about thinking about today. And I started really trying to think, why am I getting teared up? Why? And it came back to me so easily. You know, I can remember like it was yesterday. I was in seventh grade. We were playing baseball. I met my best friend, my best man. I remember his dad worked at Security Pacific in Oakland, downtown Oakland. And this guy would get killer seats. And let me just back it up a little bit. A kid from Fremont, my dad and mom were hard workers. My dad worked at Caterpillar for years. Just blue collar people. They weren't exactly all into sports, right? I was. I was the one that came into sports. So my buddy's dad takes us to the A's game, and this might have been one of my first A's games, man. And we get seats behind home plate. Can you imagine a kid? I don't even know if I've ever sat at those seats before illegally at the A's game. I've sat there plenty of times illegally, but you know, those kind of memories. Those memories, they will never ever be able to sell or move, right? Those things are with me. The times when I go to the A's games, jump on BART from Fremont, right? After the game, listen to me. After the game, we would walk from the Coliseum to the Hyatt or something like that on Hagenberger.
Oh, yeah.
to try to run down players, right? I can remember this. We'd hit an elevator. The elevator door opens. It's Kent Herbeck. We're like, Mr. Herbeck, can we have an autograph? Come here. You guys ain't supposed to be here. Get out of here, right? And we're like, oh, God. So we take another elevator. The elevator opens. It's Kirby freaking
Bucket. Yeah, it is. Rest in peace.
Totally different. Signs us all autographs. I mean, it's just those kind of days, you know. I remember Mike Davis had he was really into religion, gave us a religious tape with his autograph on it. Just the weird little things like that.
Love
man.
It. Yeah.
And it's a sad time. It's a good time. If you know an A's fan, give him a hug. Please give him a hug today.
And well
thank
put.
You guys for this.
Thank you.
Jimmy, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Jimmy had me thinking about one of the things we would do at that time, which would be go to Malibu Grand Prix before the game, because Malibu Grand Prix was where the dirt lot is now. And so you get there early, go to Malibu Grand Prix, play a little mini golf, bang out some video games, and then go to the A's game after that. It was a combo trip, because you wanted to go to Malibu, and I wasn't old enough to drive the cars, and truth be told, I was too small to drive the...
Yeah, didn't they have the two level? They had the, like, the little Roadrunner ones, the smaller ones.
Yeah,
you could drive those.
There's a height limit, and I was on a budget, but, you know, get me on a pinball machine. I could spend about 15 minutes now, but Malibu Grand Prix out there in the dirt lot, so Jimmy had me feeling all the feels about, yeah, you go down to the Hyatt there on Hagenberger, and you never knew who you'd bump into.
I mean, that's just where my mind keeps going, is that, like, for so many of you, the arc of your leisure life is getting interrupted. That's kind of how I see it, you know? Like, if you're into sports, it's something that gets introduced to you by your parents or an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent or something like that, and you fall in love with it, and it becomes part of your process and what you do when you have free time and you want to relax. And then it becomes something you go do with your buddies or your friends, right? High school and college. And then, right, you move into the other side of life, and to be able to introduce that to the other people in your life and have that leisure experience, you know, I know some of you are like, well, then we're going to Sacramento, and that's great. That's a different experience. You know what I mean? That's going to be like, I don't know how many of you have driven to Sacramento. It depends on what time you leave. That's become a very difficult drive to execute. And so that's just where my mind is. Like, you're right. We've had months, if not years, to hate John Fisher. And that doesn't go away. But I feel for all the people. It's so hard in 2024 to relax. It's so hard to relax, and this is one of the offerings that the world still has for us. And now that goes away, at least in some form, following two other sports teams going away. And so...
That's the hard one for me, because the Warriors didn't really go away. Yeah. They just crossed the bay. And, you know, I don't begrudge Joe Lacob and Peter Guber for wanting a state-of-the-art facility in the city. And I actually, and I'll say this to Joe, and I've said it to his face before, that I thought that his initial plan on the Embarcadero was kind of a joke, and I mocked it at the time, and turned out that wasn't the site. They were going to do it on where you park, your media parking, on that big pier. That's where they wanted to have the original Warriors facility.
Or the little, what's the little coffee, the little red...
Java House.
Yes,
the Red's Java House. Yep. They were going to do it right there, but where they put it is so much better, and I don't begrudge him for that, because the arena is beautiful, and it's still accessible to people in the Bay Area. The Raiders, whatever. You left once, you left again, and it hurt the second time maybe more than the first time, because the first time it did feel like, you know, just a trial separation. The second one feels a little bit more permanent with their new building. But this one hurts even more because there's 81 of these, and it was the last real bastion of affordable entertainment, Mark, because you mentioned it. Like, go ahead and take your family of four to a Warrior game. That's going to be a grand.
Yep.
And take them to the Niner game, and I don't even know what that cost you, but probably north of a grand for the four of you to go to a Niner game. The A's, you could get in there. There was Dollar Wednesday and Free Parking Tuesday and, you know, Dollar Dogs, and you could, like, pick and pop and make it work for a family on a tight budget.
You could do it like we used to do it in high school. You could get out of school and not even think of it until 4 o'clock.
Right.
And end up in the stands at 6. Like, that's the beauty of baseball. And I love your analogy, too. You're right. I mean, the Warriors left, but they're still in the area. The Raiders weren't even someone for a lot of you. You were barely dating them. Like, you know what I mean? You're barely dating them.
But, like, you were probably 9 years old when they left the first time?
Yeah.
84,
well,
I think?
Well, that's the back-forth nature of it. Like,
right.
It's almost, it doesn't have the feeling of a true relationship. And the Warriors are a relationship, but all they did was ask you to adjust the relationship. And I'm not saying that that's a small thing, but that's less of a thing than this. This is a flat-up marriage that's getting divorced. And so, bigger deal than the other two. Sam in Lafayette, thank you for calling. Sam, hi.
Hey, Willard, Dave, thanks for taking my call. You know, for me, I'm 38. One of my best memories is going up and meeting Bill King in his booth with my dad in the late 90s with Giambi. And, you know, for me, it's a pride thing. You know, I've stuck true to the A's. You know, Dibs, you talk about rocking your A's out with your son. But I did the same thing today, and it's probably the last day I'm going to do it. You know, it's just hard for me to know that my daughter, who's not even 3 yet, is not going to go to an A's game, and now I have to, like, you know, based in the East Bay, I have to go to the Giants to have a baseball experience, and it just hurts. You know, it really sucks. Today it kind of hit me harder than, you know, before. I didn't really realize, like, what it would feel like until today. But, you know, I'm sad, and I just am pissed at the ownership for not really caring when I've cared my whole life. I was a catcher growing up playing baseball, and they are my team, and now it's like I'm not going to support them in Sacramento or Vegas. You know, for me, it's kind of an end of an era, and I hate to see it go, but, I really appreciate you guys, you know, talking every day. I listen to you. Dibs, I was a morning guy when you were on in the morning, and Willard, it's nice to have you come on board because you're really the main station I listen to in the afternoon, and I just want to call in and say that it's more for me a pride thing because I've stayed true to them when I know the ownership wasn't in it like I was, and now I'm not going to have those memories like I did with my dad growing up, and it just really, really hits today that it's kind of over.
Sam, thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing I think about, and you've said this a number of times, and again, I know I sound like milk and cookie when I say this, but professional sports is so beloved that it's one of the few businesses where the owners don't really have to think of their customers, and I hate that. I hate how much they've got us because our emotions are tied to their product. It's just like I said about any other, you know what I mean? If your favorite item is discontinued at the grocery store, you get over it. If your favorite restaurant closed in COVID, that stinks, but you're probably not going to lose sleep.
You're still going to eat.
You're going to go somewhere else and find a different burger. But this is different, and our hearts are so attached to it that it makes us vulnerable to be abused. And then that's exactly what many of the owners do. And you think about it, like there's so much power in that. And the customer's thought, the only times that the customer's thought really, really matters is if somehow you can build class action behavior to where you're just like, we're not going, we're not going. And in this particular case, that actually helped. That helped the owner do exactly what he was trying to do. But if he were trying to stay and you're like, we're not going, that's the only way you can affect change. You watched it with the Dodgers with Frank McCourt. And they're just like, we're not supporting this joker. And he sold the team, you know? Or if you get a Donald Sterling that does something racist and it's
right.
caught.
Daniel Snyder, same thing.
Exactly. Then you've got, but outside of that, like it's just too vulnerable of a position. Because we care so much that they can just unilaterally charge whatever they want, go wherever they want, and there's just no damn penalty.
And the penalty is that he still makes money. In the MLB system, and I don't want to make this about Fisher hate because I'm already so over that, but you look at the attendance figures that they've had the last 4 years, and they've barely crested 10,000 fans a game. And at the same time, the payroll that they've paid is basically Blake Snell plus Matt Chapman. About $50 million is their total payroll over the last 3 years. So John Fisher's had no interest in making money through the turnstile because he's not spending money on the product. And meanwhile, this asset, if he were to sell it, and my dream involves Joe Lacob and a purchase, and everybody's dream is the same, and then they stay, that team probably goes for $2 billion, even though you need a new stadium, and the franchise is mostly not very competitive. So John Fisher has no motivation to do anything other than, like you said, it was a shell game of Howard Terminal, ha ha ha, you know, we're locking in, and I'm going to point the finger at, you know, Mayor Tao, and before that, I don't know if you remember Jean Kwan and Kwanisium City, where she wanted to have him build at the Coliseum site and all the rest of it. It's just been more than a decade of him trying to do exactly what he's doing, but today it just hits home how sad the whole thing is.
We're expecting a lot of these. This is our first. We got a call from inside the building.
Inside.
Yeah. Ruben is at the second deck of the Collie right now and is on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Ruben. What's going on?
Hey, Sonny. Hey, Guru. How's it going?
It's going good, Ruben.
It's going so well that we've changed our names to Willard and Dibs.
Ruben, I'm mad that they're leaving.
Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, man? Hey, Guru, I've been listening to you since you first started with Zachariah back in the day. I'm a first-time caller.
You sure
are.
I'm
from San Jose. I'm in the second deck. I'm in the game. I'm at the game. Second deck. It's the bottom of the eighth, man. I'm just calling to tell you guys, it hurts right now. It really hurts right now. Just watching Art and Robbie and getting that childhood ripped out of me right now. I'm just calling to tell you guys, it's different. It's different over here. It's different in the stadium. Coming in here and seeing everyone show up and just get it. I'm just trying to get my thoughts.
We got you, Ruben. We got you.
Man.
Ruben, how would you describe all of the other fans in that building today?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah. Ruben, thanks. I don't know if he can hear us.
Hang in there, Ruben.
I don't know if he can hear us. I feel like I aged during that phone call just a little bit.
I feel like I got more popular. I feel like I got more liked. Well, more beloved.
Ruben was actually perfect. He was today. He was a full range of emotions.
Yeah. First time caller, first time listener.
Might be last time caller too. I don't know.
It is funny.
I don't know. Or maybe he's had a few, which I would bet. I did hear that beer is, like, as of an hour ago, beer's running out. So I don't think anybody went out there to have water today.
Right.
Maybe a few.
I doubt it. You're talking about 46,000 fans, and I got some early reports from the parking lot and the tailgate, which was very, very excited, full tailgate, and it's good. And I had conflicting emotions about going out versus not going out because I don't want to give him another penny, and I haven't been in 5 years. But the vibes at that park today are on about a million.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Mike Holmgren's going into the San Jose Sports Hall of Fame, and he's going to jump in here next, a local guy, of course. And we're going to keep coming to you again. We're coming to you today. If you get on hold, you're going to get on, and this is your time. 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.